Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hello, I'm Brian Cox.
I'm Robin Ince. The Infinite Monkey Cage is back and we are starting the series with a whole show about trees with Dame Judi Dench. What else we got, Brian?
We're going to do What a Gas with Mark Miodovnik. Unexpected Science History with Rufus Hound. I don't know what he knows about unexpected science history.
Well, that's unexpected thing. He hasn't got a clue.
No, I'm hoping we're having some experts on there. Exploring with Annika Rice.
No, that's just one of your dreams. The other night I dreamt I was exploring with Annika Rice. And also Alien Life in Glastonbury with Chris Lintott.
Yeah.
Infinite Monkey Cage.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Lucy Collingwood, and I'm in the sweltering heat of the Taiwan capital, Taipei, to meet the award-winning Indigenous artist Anchi Lin, who's also known by her Atayal name, Chihuas Tahos.
Hello, Lucy. Welcome to my neighborhood. This is Shezhi area. So this is a very humble neighborhood. You can see this is the breakfast shop where I usually have my breakfast. And then I really enjoy this tree across the road because my window, I can see this tree right in front of me. So it's quite nice in the concrete jungle to have this tree.
So which way do we go?
Yeah, let's go up. We don't have elevators here, just stairs.
Okay.
This is in a very kind of old apartment building, so usually there's no elevators.
I'll yeah. follow you.
Yes, please.
Is this incense?
Yes.
It smells really lovely in here.
So at nighttime in this building, there's so many mosquitoes, so my neighbors like to burn incense to kind of repel the bugs away. And shoes off.
Thank you.
Okay.
Of course. I'll take my shoes off. Let me shut the door. Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be here. This is such a lovely light space. This is your home, isn't it?
This is my studio and also my home with my partner. You can see at the door, I have this red little tag. It's from the temple. This is offering the protection to the house.
Oh, it's really pretty. It's like a little tiny sort of square. What does it say? There's some writing.
It means 合家平安, so it's like safety for your home.
Coming in, you've got this amazing wall of windows.
When you look around my space, my studio, there are so many of my artworks from different periods of time. Most of them come from my previous performances. I really like to have them around me to remind me of the moments I was in the performance.
As well as performance, Anchi uses a variety of different elements in her pieces. For this latest installation, Pisuagi Thamahahoy, she combines video with her own handmade ceramic instruments. And always central to her work is her indigenous identity.
I come from a Dayak nation of Bengawan tribe. It's in the center of Taiwan, Nantou. My paternal side is Taiwanese Horo, been living in Datong District, Taipei, since Qing Dynasty, and it's where I grew up.
The impression I get is that your work is so personal, and in some ways that feels like it makes quite a lot of sense that your studio is your home, because everything's so interconnected.
It's very personal because my work has been dealing with like identity. And so as like urban indigenous grew up in the city, I think I used to have a feeling that I really want to find that place that I can feel like a sense of belonging. However, as more I create my work, the more I realize making art is a way for me to reassuring that feelings. And I am creating that space along my journey of making my work.
What are you working on at the moment?
I'm working on going through some footages that I just recently shoot at Taipei Performing Arts Center. So these footages will be used for my next video artwork, which I'll be presenting in upcoming shows in Taiwan and also in Zurich.
Much of Anchi's recent work is inspired by a story she was told by a local elder about an ancestral place called the Mahahoy.
The Mahahoy space is a story that I heard when I was on the trip back to Nantou, and the elder I come across in a grocery store shared the story to me that there is a space where there was a lot of gender non-conforming people or women. They could communicate with bees, and when they lie on the rock, a specific rock, they could pregnant themselves without the other counterpart. For me, as a genderqueer woman and also as an indigenous, a Daya person, until I found the story of the Mahahoy, I started to feel the connection that I can bind my gender identity and my ethnic identity together. So this oral story was so important for me. Mm-hmm.
Anchi has devoted herself to exploring the Mahahoy through her work, seeing it as a queer utopia where gender non-conforming people can live safely and communicate with bees. As we sit at her desk, in front of her laptop, Anchi tells me about the video footage she's now editing.
So the footages are queer women's bodies in nude, and there are a couple of the self-invented ceramic instruments that I made involved in the performance.
Just along the table, you've got some of the instruments. Can you tell me about them? So they're made of clay, are they?
They are made out of the clay from Taiwan, a mixture of clay from Nantou and Miaoli. And I didn't put any glaze on this. It's double bisque, so it looks kind of archaeological. And then there's like, the look of the ceramics is kind of like a skin tone that I'm trying to achieve. Let me play a little bit, see the sound, if that works. Wait. So this instrument I made has three mouthpieces, and each mouthpiece has different sound. And in the footage, you will see three different bodies connect with each mouthpiece. Each performer needs to kind of co-work with another performer to coordinate some soundscapes out of this. So that's the experiment I'm trying to do, like use this instrument as a way to summon up the space of the Mahahoy.
Oh, it's a lovely sound.
Do you think this sounds like wind?
It does.
This particular performance, like a video artwork, it's called Baswagi de Mahahoy. So that means literally using the sun, light, and shade to find the space of the Mahahoy. And one of the components of this is to use this instrument to relocate that space. I'm hoping to weave with the elder taking me to find the beehive in the mountains. So trying to create that visual conversation with the instruments I made, and then finding the wild bees with the elders.
Can you explain the significance of the bees?
The significance of the bees is very important for the Mahahoy story, because in our oral story, it mentions that the Mahahoy people can communicate with bees, and they could maneuver the bees when there's outside intruder trying to get into their space. So the bees kind of serve as like a defense line to protect their place.
Why is it so important to you to explore the Mahahoy?
To me, it's very important because this story, I feel it's quite abandoned, that I don't hear it often in the communities. So for me, I feel like this story almost recorded like a queer history, and queer history is usually being overlooked. And so if I can offer my work that's kind of reactivate the story again, then I can think of how we are always here as Indigenous, as queer people. This is, for me, is to reclaim that space back again.
So today, what are you hoping to achieve with the editing?
So today, I'm still kind of at the organizing stage. So I have to go through all the footages we filmed the other day and then just kind of put orders, which one I like, which one I think maybe I will use it, and then just kind of prioritize the ones that I will use the first.
So once you've organized them, then how long do you think it will take you to edit the footage?
So because I haven't filmed the second part, which is going into the mountain and then have the elder involved in the next shot, I will wait till I finish that part with the elder in the mountains and then reorganize the files again to feel how to weave the parts that I film in the mountains with the elder and then the performance I film earlier this month.
When you've edited it, how long will the video be?
It really depends. I don't really make a certain time frame for my video should be. It's more like I'm focusing on how I want this video art convey a certain feeling within like short time. And sometimes it's not really in like linear narrative way. It's usually like very abstract.
And she had planned to go to the mountains to film the other half of her video a few days before I arrived. But typhoons have left the roads unsafe to travel there. It's not until a month later that she's able to make that journey. She's filming with a local elder, an expert in tracking wild bees. And Chi wants the footage to follow his journey and capture his techniques for finding and caring for the bees. She sent me this recording from the mountains.
Hi, this is An Chi Ling, Jinhua Star host. I am with the elder, the Adaya elder. We were supposed to go to Sanxia in New Taipei City to see the hives. But this morning he went and the beehives were being eaten by the hornet. So we have this like very sudden change to go to Xinzhou, a different city, the mountain in Xinzhou, to check out this different hive that we can potentially see the bees, the wild bees.
By learning to track the bees like the elder, bees which according to the oral story protected the Mahahoy, and Chi hopes to learn how to find that special space again.
We are entering the mountains of Xinzhou County and the elder is about to take me into the hive that he knows. The surrounding is very beautiful. It's filled with high mountains and there's a river right beside us that we can hear the sound of water flowing. I quite enjoyed this because my Adaya language teacher is also from this region and so we pick her up and now the elder and my Adaya language teachers are conversing in a dial language, and to me this is a really nice moment to be surrounded with this language in the place where I'm about to find the wild bees. We are walking through the open road right now with the elder. And the road is not easy to. There's lots of fern. Still lots of cutting grass. Ooh. Hopefully, there's no snake coming up.
Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. All episodes are available now. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Lucy Collingwood, and I'm following the Indigenous Taipei-based artist An Chi Lin, who's also known by her Atayal name Chihuas Tahos. An Chi's now travelled to Switzerland and has started to set up her installation, Pizwagi the Mahahoy. It's part of an exhibition at Shedhalle in Zurich. Having settled into the large gallery space, An Chi has decided to add an extra element to the piece.
The space is very open space. Used to be a factory, and I'm in my exhibition space doing drawings of the experiences that I have in the mountain with the bee chaser. So I'm trying to visualize the embodied experience that I had in the mountain with the bees. I'm using white chalk marker to draw. So because this is like intangible knowledge that you only learn with your body. And so I feel like this is something cannot be translated with text or words. And so I think it's quite important for me to visualize this in some sort of like visual language. But actually, along with this drawing, I will put like multiple different QR codes that were connected to the forest. So there were some moments that I took pictures of in the forest. I put them into the QR code, and then I will stick these QR codes along with this mind map on the green glass. So that's the plan.
It's the day of the opening, and I've travelled to Zurich to see An Chi. It's a cold winter's afternoon, a big contrast to when I last saw her in Taipei.
It's so cold here.
No, it's a bit of a shock to the system, isn't it? Different,
yes,
from when we last saw each
definitely,
other.
Definitely, because now it's like 5 degrees Celsius, so it's really different from Taipei. Taipei, when I left, was about 30 Celsius.
So we're here at Shedhalle, and I'm hoping that you might give me a little bit of a sneak preview before the opening of your installation.
Of course, I'm still kind of in my last stage of installation. Almost finished. I'm kind of stacking up some stones, but I'll bring you to have a look.
So here we are inside Shedhalle, and we're here in quite a large open factory space, and then your installation is sort of enclosed in an old office space with green glass windows.
So now we are entering like the space, the previous office space. Now you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 monitors in different sizes, playing different videos that I made in different time. And also in the middle of the gallery space, you can see 3 ocarina self-invented instruments I made in Taiwan and I brought over here. They are on a white plinth, but also it's like a light box with breathing lighting coming through from the bottom, so you can have a sense of feeling that the ocarinas, the instruments, are kind of breathing.
That's really amazing that the lights come and go. And the monitors that you mentioned, they are on 3 sides of this room, and the first monitor that you come to has the video artwork which you were editing when I was with you in Taipei. So there's the performance with the ceramic instruments that you recorded and were editing, and then there's also the footage that you made with the elder when you were following him with the bees.
Exactly.
What you can see on the footage are the mountains, the trees, you travelling to where the hives are with the elder and the bees. And, I mean, it's a really different landscape to where we are today.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be bringing it to a very different space and a different audience?
So you can see, like, right now, this footage is, like, the mountain is filled with, like, fogs or pollution, you don't know. And so for me, it's more like bring up the awareness of like how this air pollution affected the ecosystem, not just in Taiwan, but broadly the whole world, but also like how to bring up another question of like, if we cannot use buswagi, this technique, to trace the wild bees because of the pollution, then how can we find the mahahoi, the space, this queer space again?
After looking at the video installation, we turn to the new chalk pen drawings on the windows surrounding us. On those windows, you've drawn really beautiful illustrations, maps. I'm not sure how you would describe them.
Sure. So this is actually like a mind map of the embodied knowledge that I have learned from the elder, the bee tracer. The drawing is pretty much like the visualization of that process of trying to find the wild bees in the forest. So you can see some very straight lines and some cliff-like rocks drawings and some instruments I made. All these moments are all embedded in this drawing with chalk pen.
It's a really beautiful image because it looks almost like the landscape that you were obviously in, but then there are arrows and words. There are sort of areas that look a little bit like a kind of craggy, rocky cliff sort of surface, mountainous surface. And then from that, there's a straight line that's going over to the dot where there are lots of the words. And there are arrows pointing towards that dot.
Yes.
That's the journey of the bee?
Yeah, so that's the journey, the bee traveling from the hive to the flower area. And then they take the honey. When we are observing the bees, this squiggly lines traveling back to the hive, when you see bees kind of flying in wobbly shape, it means that it's carrying pollen inside the bee. So we know that bee is going towards the hive. So when we track the bee, we're trying to see the wobbly line. Straight line, we know it's going out. And wobbly line, we know it's going back to the hive. So we go towards the wobbly lines.
And when you're talking about the lines, you mean their path that they're flying to the hive?
Yes.
So they're flying in a kind of wobbly way.
Slower than the when they're flying out very straight.
There are also some piles of stones slightly below the green glass. Why have you included those in the piece?
The stacking stone is a gesture that you will see from the elder. When we finish taking the honey in the forest, he was stacking the stone back for the bees to come back. So according to him, bees like somewhere darker and dry. And so to stack the stone back, it's kind of like protecting the space of the wild bees. And so for me, this gesture, this action, is very important to be reenact.
The installation is going to open in a couple of hours. What do you still need to do?
Well, I still need to get some more rocks to stack on the in this little display area outside of the office. Shall we go get some more rocks by the lake?
I'd love to come and see where you're finding them and be part of that process. What's the process called?
Bahaga, stacking stone.
We grab our coats and head out of the huge industrial doors at the back of the gallery to the shore of Lake Zurich. From here, you can see the snow-capped Alps in the distance. We're just right at the edge of this lake, and there are pebbles and smooth stones of lots of different sizes. Let me help you.
Yeah, it's so cold.
That's a nice smooth one.
Seems like all the water here is so clear.
It looks like you could drink it, doesn't it?
Yeah, because you cannot drink tap water in Taiwan, but I bet... Yeah, I think here you can do tap water.
There's a lovely one with a stripe through the middle of it. It's grey with a sort of crack of white. The edge of the water is so lovely because it's just got the odd yellow leaf that's fallen down onto the pebbles. Oh, a swan's come to see us. Hello. Oh. He's curious for what we're doing, isn't he? He's puffing up his wings. Slightly territorial about this place. He's following us for being followed by a swan, aren't he?
Don't take my stone.
Escaping the swan, we go back inside the gallery so An Chi can start stacking the stones we've collected.
So now they are all quite nice and clean and dry and still a bit damp, but it's okay. I'm going to stack them back to the outside display area. So let's see. There's a crease for the bee.
There are quite a lot, actually, aren't there? There must be about 50. And then there, overall, there must be 100 in the end. While you're stacking the stones, there's a tour going on around some of the other installations, and some tables are being put out for the opening tonight. So it's quite a flurry of activity going on around us. Do you feel like it's ready now for the opening?
I think it's completely ready for the opening, which will happen in 1 hour.
As guests arrive for the opening of the exhibition, there's a lovely warm atmosphere around us. An Chi reflects on how it feels to share this installation with an audience miles from the mountains of Taiwan.
For me, the story of Demahahoi is so important. It's an invisible kind of cultural heritage to me. I know I'm doing contemporary art, but at the same time for me, I want to include our gestures and our worldview. And also, like, for me, the most important thing is to let people know, not just Taiwan, like, to know this space exists in we exist as queer people.
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service with the indigenous Taipei-based artist An Chi Lin, who's also known by her Atayal name Chihuas Tahos. It's presented and produced by me, Lucy Collingwood. The executive producer is Andrea Kidd.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. All episodes are available now. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.